Thank you. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to talk about my work in this conference. I will talk about the solid on solid model. This is a work that I started in my PhD thesis at the University of Toronto. I'm going to talk about a collection of problems raised by the study of this model. So, first of all, solid-on-solid model is an interacting particle system. This model has been introduced in physics literature to understand the physical phenomena of surface diffusion. Surface diffusion appears when a layer of silicon is built using this technological process called molecular beam epitaxy. These silicon layers are needed in the construction of semiconductors. On a flat surface, atoms of silicon are sprayed, and they arrived on the surface. They may jump out of the surface, or they just walk on the surface. This is a picture of a silicon layer. Here is you can see what's going on the microscopic scale. People want to understand what is the profile of the surface at the end of this process on the macroscopic scale, because this the roughness of this profile affects the property of the chip later on. So, as I said, in the construction of this layer, there are three phenomena going on. One is deposition, when the silicon atom arrives on the surface. Another one is surface diffusion, when the particle just moves along the surface. And another one is desorption, when the particle goes out. From the physical literature, I know that deposition and desorption are pretty well understood. They would like to understand more surface diffusion. So this is a model which takes care only about the surface diffusion. There are actually two models called solid-on-solid model. First, I'm going to talk about the discrete one and then about the continuum one. So in solid-on-solid model, as I said, is a random interacting particle system. We have randomness going on in the system. It's a model for the dynamics of the molecules of the particles. So it's a model for the dynamics on the microscopic scale. We may ask, why do we need randomness in this system? It's because the layer is made up of a huge number of particles, and we cannot handle this in a deterministic way. So we introduce randomness. And it's been built to understand the phenomenon of surface diffusion. So here we have an imaginary surface. We have a lattice with n plus 1 sides, and on top of each side we have a certain number of particles. Now, the top particle on each column has the choice of jumping on one of the two adjacent columns. And no particle jumps out of the surface or comes on the surface. So this is a feature introduced in the model so that we study the phenomenon of surface diffusion. Because of this feature, because no particle is born or dies, the total number of particles is preserved. And we introduce some notations. HIN is the height of the surface at the site I over N. It's basically the number of particles sitting at that site. And for a reason I'm going to explain later, we actually look at the slope, at the slopes of this surface. So SIN is the difference of the heights at two adjacent sites. So it's HIN minus HI minus 1N. this is called the slope of the surface at site I over n. Now notice that if we know the height of the first column and all the slopes, then we can recover all heights. But if we do not know the height of the first column, however we know all the slopes, we cannot recover all the heights. I should say what's going on at the boundary. So at the boundary, if a particle jumps on a boundary site, then it will move back. So we have a configuration of heights, which is a collection of all heights. It's just a vector, an n plus 1 dimensional vector in Z. And we also have the configuration of slopes. If this is an n dimensional vector in Zn with integer components. And each configuration has associated an energy. The energy, as you can see, depends only on the slope. And there is a potential that defines the energy, so it's the sum over all columns of one half the potential applied on the slope at that site. The potential, it has to be a positive function. And the one possibility is when the potential is a quadratic function, is x squared. So I'm going to describe the dynamics of the solid on solid model. Suppose we have two particles A and B. Now each particle has a clock associated with it, and this clock triggers at some random time. So it doesn't trigger at a fixed time. There is some randomness involved. Now, when the clock of a particle rings, then that particle decides to jump, and it has two choices, left or right. As you can see here, if the clock of particle B rings, then B decides to leave its place, and it can go to the right on site I plus 1 or to the left on site I minus 1. So the randomness comes from the time of the clock, which is random, and also from the probability associated to jumping to the right or the left. Now, the time when the clock will ring has an exponent. We say that has an exponential distribution. We introduce the exponential distribution because we need a Markov property, and so the time between the jumps has an exponential distribution with an intensity, and the intensity is actually given by this. The intensity times the probability to jump to the left or to the right gives us the rate, and the rate is given in terms of the energy. So basically, the energy is what drives this dynamics. So how is the configuration of height updated after a jump? We can see here, if the particle moves to the right, the height at site I decreases by 1, the height at site I plus 1 increases by 1. And if we look at the configuration of slope, we have that three positions are changed. One position decreases by 1, the middle position increases by 2, and another position decreases by 1. Now, if the particle moves to the left, then we have the configuration of slopes is updated like this. Two positions increase by 1, and one position decreases by 2. So, and I should mention that because we actually look at the profile the quantity of interest in this model is the configuration of slopes and not the configuration of height. So if we have two surfaces that that have the same profile, they should evolve in the same way. So now what I described, so if we look at the configuration of slopes, this configuration of slopes changes, evolves in time, and this evolution is actually is a Markov process because of the exponential distribution. Now we need Markov process because we need the Markov property because we would like to handle the model. Markov property means that the next move depends only on the present configuration and doesn't depend on the path of the process. Now, if we have a Markov process, of course there is a lot of randomness involved, but we can encode the Markov process by a generator or by an operator, which has this formula here. So the operator acts on functions. The functions are defined on the set of all configurations, real values. Now, we evaluate this at S. S is the configuration of slopes, and we sum over all new possible configurations. Here is the rate defined in terms of the energy, and now F evaluated at the new configuration minus F evaluated at the present configuration. So the new configuration of slopes has two possibilities, which are here. So we add one negative and one, or we add negative one, two, and negative one. And this is over all sides between two and n minus one. Now this, we may ask, why do we have this operator? This operator is actually, because we want a reversible dynamics and we want a certain equilibrium distribution, we actually start from a quadratic form, in which we call it Dirichlet form. And this quadratic form, we know that a quadratic form defines a unique symmetric operator. And here is the quadratic form. We sum over all new possible configurations. And that's going to be the equilibrium measure, which I'm going to talk about. So the energy also appears in here. So what is special about this process, because we are concerned about the surface diffusions and no particle dies, no particle is born, we have two conserved quantities. One is the sum of the slopes, and another one is this sum with weights, so it's S1 plus 2S2 plus NSN. This process is ergodic when we restrict on any level set. It means, if it's ergodic, it means if you start the process on a certain configuration, then it will eventually cover all configuration on this level set. And it preserves this probability measure. In other words, if I start the process in this probability measure, the probability measure is preserved in time. We observe it at any time. And that's why this is going to be called the equilibrium measure. So the model which I talk about is called discrete solid-on-solid model, because you see, we actually count the number of particles at any site. So these configuration vectors, they have components that are integer numbers. This model is very easy to describe, however it's very complicated to study. And for this reason, in my thesis I actually looked at a continuous approximation to this model, which is continuum solid-on-solid model. So continuum solid-on-solid model is also a Markov process. Now this process has configurations from Rn, so we assume that the number of particles in any size is a real number, which doesn't quite make sense, but that's our assumption. So it's not the number of particles at that size. Being a Markov process is defined by a generator. The generator has this formula here. It's a complicated formula. It acts on functions defined on vectors with real components that are twice differentiable because we use second derivative. This operator comes from a quadratic form, which is here. The equilibrium measure is similar. So now notice the we replaced the differences in the discrete solid or solid in the model by derivatives. So we can actually use calculus and stochastic calculus to study this model. And notice that in the discrete solid or solid model, we update the configuration by subtracting or adding 1, negative 2, and 1. For this continuum solid on solid model, we take this linear combination of partial derivatives that has these coefficients 1, negative 2, and 1. So continuum solid on solid model is a Markov process, diffusion process is ergodic on the level set of these two functions, of this function. So and also preserves has two conserved quantities, the sum of the slopes and this special sum with these coefficients 1, 2, and 1. And preserves in time the probability measure e to the negative h over z to the n. H is the energy defined as before in terms of a potential. So when we describe this continuum model, we don't really see the connection with the actual process. However, it's easier to study. So in the study of what we people are interested in, this model tells us the dynamics of the molecules on the microscopic scale. And from these dynamics, we want to derive the dynamics on the macroscopic scale. The dynamics on the macroscopic scale is going to be a differential equation, a partial differential equation, a fourth order nonlinear. And in this study, to derive this equation on rigorous grounds, we need lots of mathematical tools, and lots of interesting mathematical problems appear, which this is some of them, and I'm listing them here. And so the first problem amounts to compute the codimension of a Hilbert subspace inside of a bigger Hilbert space. So we have the Hilbert space of closed function, and inside we have a Hilbert subspace of exact function. And we just want to compute the codimension. The big Hilbert space, it tells you the fluctuations, and the smaller Hilbert space, it tells you the fluctuations that disappear on the macroscopic scale. This is this problem actually allows us to calculate the hydrodynamic scaling limit of the model, which is the equation on the macroscopic scale, and understand the evolution of the surface profile on the macroscopic scale. Another problem we have this generator, which is basically an operator. This operator has a spectrum, and we would like to estimate the gap, one gap in the spectrum of this operator. This tells us the exponential decay to equilibrium in L2. Another problem, it's called equivalence of ensembles, and what it does, it takes care, it relates two equilibrium measures So it tells you the connection between the marginals of extremal equilibrium measures and shift invariant measures. I'm going to give more detail. Okay. So the first problem here is we define the space of closed functions. They are L2 functions on this space, on the space of double-sided sequences, with this probability measure, which is the equilibrium measure, and is closed if it satisfies these equations and the space of exact functions. The function is exact, is defined by this formula. Now, in here, x naught is this combination of partial derivatives and excited combination that we actually saw in the generator. Now tau is the shift and tau I is the I-fold composition of the shift. Now it's been proved if the potential is x squared, then the codimension is actually 1. And should I? Now, I said that I mentioned one equilibrium measure, but actually there are more than one. And there are two kinds of equilibrium measures. In here, I'm going to rename the size from negative n to n. So I have these product measures, which are called grand canonical measures. So the potential comes into play. They are defined by a parameter lambda, and the marginals in each side are the same. Now, if we condition this on the level set of the function that I mentioned before, we get the canonical measures, and these are actually extremal measures in the set of all equilibrium measures. So we actually have two kinds. And if we look at, so there is a connection between these two kinds of measures. If we actually look at the marginals of the canonical measure inside the finite box, and we take a certain limit, we actually get the grand canonical measure. And the last problem I talk about is, so we have this generator of the model, which is a diffusion process. This generator or this operator is self-adjoint negative definite, so all the spectrum is on the negative semi-axis. Zero is an eigenvalue, and the distance between zero and the next eigenvalue is called spectral gap. And we need an estimate on this. This has been done if the potential is x squared. We would like to actually extend this result and the previous result when the potential is not is more complicated. For example, x squared plus some perturbation, which is bound. Okay.